Welcome to a special edition of the CNHR Supplier Profile Podcast. Today we're joined by David Kang, the owner, founder, and CEO of Platinum Naturals. David, it's always so great to speak with you.
Hey, Bruce, it's always a pleasure. It's always, I always look forward to speaking to you and seeing you, and so this is great.
Yeah, well, you and I always find about 37 things to talk about, and I think today what we're going to do is talk mostly about you, what's happening with Platinum to some degree, but also what's happening with our industry, because we are certainly in the midst of some crazy times.
All right. Talking about me will be boring, but with the other stuff we can definitely get into, but for sure.
Maybe off the start, Dave, I did a little bit of research, and you founded the company in 1996. So next year, I think it's a landmark. I think it's 25 years.
Wow. Amazing. 25 years. Actually, you know, I started in the health food industry in 1977. My parents, they had a couple of health food stores in LA. I used to go down every summer, help them out. You know, people used to, you know, ask me about certain products like L-glutamine. I remember this one guy says, do you have L-glutamine? I had no idea what that was. But anyway, it's been a long time. I went through a lot, lot of great experiences. And I think, you know, the moment that it really, really turned for me was when I took a course with Dr. Bernard Jensen, iridology. And he really inspired me because he's the one who really made me understand the importance of natural products, natural ingredients. And I was able to refine that knowledge at Canadian School of Natural Nutrition. So it really, if you think about it, I've been in the health food industry since 1977.
Wow. And I wasn't aware that you'd worked on the retail side. That must have really helped you when you founded Platinum and you've worked with retailers over the years, just being exposed to it, being on the floor and meeting customers and hearing their needs.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you have to walk in other people's shoes before you really know what they go through, right?
I think so. And I know that you mentioned too that, you had people coming into the store and you were helping them and you'd come back and they would basically say, hey, that really helped me a lot. And that, you know, I know you told me that that really woke you up to the power of natural products, especially pure products.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Like, you know, there's nothing more rewarding and satisfying than helping others, right? And so if you can do that by recommending a product that's suited for that person and that is effective, that's, you know, that's the high that I think every retailer gets.
Yeah. Well, Dave, it's now, it's 24 years plus with Platinum plus, you know, your exposure during the, your retail days and your holistic nutrition days and studying at the college. You've seen a lot of stuff in your time in the industry and a lot of innovations come to our industry. And actually you've probably had a few innovations yourself.
Well, you know, I was, I feel very fortunate because, I had, you know, I feel very lucky in that, you know, discovering the power of omega oils and how it can really enhance absorption. And there's more and more studies now that shows this, that the importance of the omega oils in so many ways, even like a big product right now is the quercetin, and that without the omega oils, the absorption is very low, virtually every product that you could think of. So I was very fortunate that way, you know, to make that discovery and that innovation. It wasn't easy, and we still, you know, it's a technology that's still difficult. It's not perfect, but we're working to make it better all the time.
Yeah, that's good. I know one of your lines is, isn't it, we are what we absorb?
Yep, that was one of the corny things I came out with.
But it makes it real for people. It's like, you know, years ago, everybody said, you are what you're eating. People said, what do you mean by that? But now when you say you are what you absorb, then people get it. If it helps, then why not use it? Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's obvious when you mention it, that it doesn't matter how many products that you take, how much, for example, quercetin you take. What matters is really how much that's getting into your system. So I think that's where, you know, I think we have been be able to be successful in that area.
Yeah, well, when we spoke earlier this week, you said that you really do want to address what's happening now with the worldwide pandemic. We're a couple of months into it now. It seems like it's not likely to go anywhere for quite some time. And you wanted to address that. So why don't we get into that? Are you okay with that, Dave?
Oh, absolutely. You know, so I think there's a lot of things, but there's no doubt there's a major dynamic shift in the world and how we live. And everyone knows that. That's, you know, they're stating the obvious. But what I want to say is that if we look around and try to learn from others, you know, we don't always have to figure it out ourselves. To me, some of the things that that we learn from this is that to be innovative, to be proactive, you know, like you have to act quickly sometimes. You could see the countries that really acted quickly. They used common sense. They didn't, and that's one of the things that for me that's really, really frustrating for me is the medical community that says, well, there's no science. So remember when the mask, the controversy, the Canadian government and the WHO kept insisting on, you know, masks are not needed, right? Mm-hmm. But the countries that said, okay, there's no science, but makes common sense, and there's no, it doesn't hurt to wear a mask, those countries fared well. And now we know that masks works. And then similarly, what I want to say is that, okay, there's no science behind natural products, these immune system products, in terms, not that there's no science, but there's no science directly related to COVID that it could help. But there's no doubt by using common sense, anything that boosts the immune system can help. I'm not saying it's a cure. There's no such thing as 100% cure. But, you know, so that's, I think we shouldn't be afraid to say that, you know, by boosting the immune system, that it can help. There's a real demand for that. And also, the retailers, the ones that are being more proactive, like some of them went, I know some of them even delivered the products to some senior's home. Some of them have obviously done the curbside pickup. Some other ones, they set up an online business. And also some of the stores that they're really being proactive in cleaning and showing that it's safe to come shop in the stores. Those type of things I think that retailers can do to really move forward, because like you said, trying to be proactive or act quickly to help your customers. And I think if they do that, the retailers can do well.
Well, that was actually leading into my next question. You've actually covered a lot of good things there about being proactive and what some of the good retailers are doing. I know that you have your pulse on the industry because, you know, you're connected to the industry just because of your retail background, but also you've been doing this for 24 years. You're getting great feedback from your sales team on what's happening in the field. And what are your field reps saying about the retailers? What are they seeing that, for lack of a better word, what excellence is coming out of the retail side that your reps have seen, and even what you've seen, and how the best retailers, most successful retailers, are adjusting to this?
So, you know, the sad truth is there's a lot of retailers that are struggling, but there are some retailers that are doing well. And the ones that are doing well, they definitely have an online business model. They also, the ones that do well are the ones that have groceries. So there's a reason for them to come on a regular basis. So the other ones that are doing well are the ones that really has developed a connection with their consumers. I think going forward, a retailer has to have like a relationship that's like online basis, so that they can send an email. They can send an email blast to their customers, and the customers can respond. So I think those are the ones that are doing well. And you know, Bruce, what I was wondering is that, you know, is it possible that the health food retailers could sign up with Uber delivery or some other delivery system? Because the advantage is they can get it right away, right? Rather than if you shop online, sometimes it takes 2-3 days. So I'm wondering if that there are things like that can be done. And I was also wondering if they can, you know, receive phone calls or video chats, and then the products can be shipped out to them through that those methods.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting, Dave. I've been talking to so many retailers the last 2 months, and as you mentioned, delivery is much bigger than it was, but I hadn't thought about the Uber delivery, because that kind of takes it out of the retailer's hands, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, the thing is that it's, because not every retailer has the time to drive the product out to their customers. So the customers, the retailers, some of the ones that are making deliveries, they're doing it after the store closes, before they go home.
Mm-hmm.
So they are doing that, but it can be somewhat limiting. But if you did sign up for Uber delivery, why not? And, you know, I think the one that who does it the first, who does it right away, can get some media attention as well.
Yeah, and that never hurts, doesn't it? I mean, it doesn't hurt at all.
Yeah.
Dave, I just want to switch gears a tiny bit, and this is something you and I spoke about the other day. What do you think the natural retailing climate is going to be like in the months and even the years ahead? What do you think some of the changes coming to retail might be?
Yeah, that's a great question. Me and my team, we think about it, we talk about that. So this is what conclusion that I came to. So you always have to think about from the consumer side, right? What are your customers? So why would the customer come to you? So I think that if you think about that, there will be three types of retailers that can survive in the future. One is like the total experience type of stores. You know, the big stores that have, you know, bakery, produce, you know, foods and everything. So the total experience, you go in there and you can buy everything and you feel like you're doing something good for your body. And I think the second one is a consultative dispensary. So why am I going to go there? Because you're going to get a better bang for your dollar, because you're going to be recommended products that it's really tailored to you, that's going to work for you, that's suited for you, rather than you just kind of guess what products to take.
Mm-hmm.
And the third type of retail business I think it's can survive, obviously, is the online sales.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, those are the three types. If you don't fall in one of those three areas, I think your business will slowly diminish.
And that kind of leads me to my next question. Retailers have really had to adapt over the last 8 weeks, making lots of changes and adjustments. What are some of the things you've seen that you think might become permanent in retail stores that maybe didn't exist 2 months ago or were just kind of minor players in the whole thing. You just mentioned online sales. You think that's here to stay in a big way?
Oh, for sure. It definitely is. And if you know, before the COVID things in Canada, they estimated that 10% of supplement sales was online. Mm-hmm. And in the States, it's much higher. I think it was closer to 18%. And you know, with this COVID thing, that has only increased because everyone knows online traffic has increased a lot, right? The online grocery stores, you have to order like 2 weeks in advance because they just don't have the capacity because the demand shot up so high. So definitely online. So I was thinking about that. And I was also thinking about what can the Canadian Health Food Association do? Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about how will Canadian Health Food Association become relevant? Because their major source of revenue, the health food, the trade shows, is not likely to happen. Right? So
I think CHA is really looking at that right now. You're right. I know that there's not been a decision to postpone it yet, but I have a lot of respect for the fact that they're really looking at this hard before they do cancel it. And I know they're considering everything. So yeah, you're right. There's a chance it might not happen.
So, and then it's for me, it's always about what can you do? What can you do for others? So what can the CHFA do for others? And I think this, what I would like to see is them setting up some kind of program where the retailers that want to sell online can go to the CHFA and get guidance. Hmm. So let people from the CHFA, you know, find people that can figure out how to get the mom and pop shop health food stores to be able to sell online, and then have that retailer, right, be able to serve the community very well. Because you got to remember, there's all types of health food stores out there. There's not just the health food stores in the major city. There's also health food stores in a smaller cities as well. So I think I was thinking that would be something that the retailers would really did really need and would appreciate.
Yeah, that's a really good call. I know there are some third party groups that are around that will help retailers do that. But that's a good point too about CHFA making themselves available. Man, they're so busy over there, right? With all the things going on and now to have the possibility of the show not happening, although I'm not trying to spread rumors. We don't know yet.
Yeah, we don't know.
No, and I just mentioned a minute ago, I'm really glad that they're looking at it in a really, really scrutinizing it before any decisions made. So good for those.
I think, you know, always got to try to go down to what the consumers want. You know, how can I make a difference?
David, let me just ask you this, because again, when you and I spoke, I know you mentioned this at the top about being proactive with your business. You're a big proponent of that. And you've said proactivity is a big step towards success. That's basically how you're saying it. What are some of the things and some of the ways retailers can do to be proactive in these times? How can the retailers look beyond merely surviving and set their goal on thriving for the long term?
I think, what I do is I try to do research, learn from others, what's happening. And we have a great thing called YouTube these days. And there's so much information out there. And I think that the thing is to be curious and to be open-minded and look to others. And, you know, it doesn't always necessarily have to be your industry, but what other businesses, other people are doing to be more relevant. I think, you know, that's the key is, you know, how do I be more relevant? You know, how do I make my business, myself, be needed?
That's a good call. I remember giving that advice to a young person years ago about starting a new job. And I said, make sure you're the most valuable person at the company. So when they have to let somebody go, you're the last person to go because you're just too darn valuable to the organization. And that's kind of what you're saying.
Yeah, for sure. Right.
Dave, we haven't talked very much about Platinum. So I just want to just ask you something here. You've said this to me before. In fact, you mentioned it earlier in our conversation. The more you do for others and the more helpful and useful you are to them, the more chance your company or business will succeed. So I say to you, what are some of the things Platinum has been doing during the pandemic to live up to this statement?
Well, so for me, taking care of people around you is vitally important. So that means family, friends, and your employees. So what we've done is we secured masks, hand sanitizers, and gloves, and we shipped it to all our staff for them to use and for their family. The other thing that we did is I felt, and even including myself, you know, in the early stages of this social distancing, social isolation is probably more like it. Mm-hmm. So I said, people are getting down, and I'm sure our staff is getting down. So I said, let's have an Uber Eats night. So what we did is all the staff throughout Platinum employees throughout the country, they were able to order a meal for their family and expense it. No questions asked, no limit. You know, and so it was kind of fun for them to do something, you know, different. And also I think trying to help the community in the what literal way is possible, is important, and it really adds up, makes a difference. So we donated, N94 masks, which is similar to N95 masks to the hospital in Oshawa. We donated to the Richmond Hill Food Bank, and we also donated to the Red Cross. So I think that this is what I've seen, you know, and my friends have done it in a small way, which all adds up. Like a friend of mine, you know, baked a peach pie recently, and then, you know, we're a little chat group, and so anybody wanted a piece, we met them at a park, keeping our social distancing, got a piece of pie, that type of thing, right?
That's great.
Yeah, it's, and you feel wonderful, receiving and also giving.
Yeah, I think probably people have felt so paralyzed in a way that they couldn't do anything. And doing what you just talked about, social distancing and sharing a piece of pie from a distance, it's almost like you're following the rules, but you know it's a little out of the box. Like, I think that's pretty fun.
Yeah, and you know, I'm thinking that you probably bake a mean pie too, Bruce. Do you?
I'm really good at scrambled eggs. You know, we have chicken, so I'm having eggs every morning, and they're free-range organic.
Oh, I see. So I guess I'm not going to be coming up for a piece of pie anytime soon.
I'll get on it. I'm going to Google YouTube how to make a pie.
Yeah.
Dave, I guess we have a few minutes left, but I wanted to ask you about some of the changes we're going to see, and it's sort of a three-part question, and I'll let you work through it, but do you think the suppliers are going to have to change the way they currently work with and serve retailers in the wake of the pandemic?
Well, I think the retailers, I mean, the suppliers, I'm not sure how well they can do it, because there's a lot of things that's happening. There's a trade war between China and US, and I don't know if a lot of retailers realize, but any products coming up from the States, there's going to be some massive price increases. Oh, really? There's a 30% tariff, the raw materials, and then there's a foreign exchange difference and so forth. So we at Platinum Naturals, and I think the other suppliers should do this same if they can, is say that during this pandemic that we're not going to have any price increases, that we will absorb all price increases during this time. And, you know, hopefully, and I think those are the, some of the things that the suppliers will have to do, because we have to be, remember that the retailers are our business partners, and if they don't make it, then, you know, our business is going to suffer as well. So probably, you know, that's probably one of the areas, one way that the supplier could really contribute to the retailers. And, you know, we're still supporting our retailers to various co-op promotion, advertising and stuff, even if, you know, they're not really doing much. So we're, I think the suppliers, you know, has to try to help the retailers get through this. You know, we're not the government, so we can't print money, unfortunately. but I think that's some of the ways that we can try to help the retailers.
Yeah, and also, are the retailers going to have to change how they work with their suppliers in the future? Let's just reverse that.
Well, you know, I think the retailers, some of the retailers are awesome, but some of them are I think they haven't really wanted to change with technology. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one area that, you know, if they can do that, it makes the whole industry more efficient. So yeah. Therefore, you know, their costs could go down. So those are I think that's the one thing that I would like the retailers to do. And, you know, we're trying to do that ourselves as well, is that we have to embrace technology and change, because it's happening, and it's happening, you know, very, very quickly now.
And I guess in many ways, this pandemic has forced people to change. And I know, speaking to some people in the industry, the increase in the number of retailers who have gone to online has grown astronomically in the last 8 weeks. And I guess it makes me wonder if after this pandemic calms down a bit, if we're going to see more retailers do that. And basically you're saying, yes, they should be doing that.
Oh, I think they definitely should. But I also think there's room for the human connection as well. So, you know, just to give you a quick example, during this pandemic and lockdown, sometimes you feel down and you want to treat yourself. So you go and you go to a restaurant and do a takeout. That brief interaction, you know, maybe 1 minute of interaction, made me feel so great and so alive, you know, because we're social animals. So I think that even with this, I really think that there's, they should try to keep the contact with the customers. And I think you can do it by video chat. So at Platinum Naturals, most of us are working from home. And what we did was we said, you must turn on your video camera, because that human to human connection, not as good as if you're face to face, but it still gives that human element.
Well, Dave, you know what? I think that's a pretty good way to wrap this up. I think our stores historically have been built on the human connection and the one-on-one and the intimacy of the advice we give and helping people. And we've sort of ended on you saying we're going to still need that no matter what happens.
Yeah, I think so. People crave it.
Yeah, unless you're a hermit or you don't like people.
Yeah, no, there's not many of those people out there.
No, especially not in our industry, is there?
Absolutely.
Well, David, thanks so much for spending some time with me today. It was great to catch up with you, and I especially appreciate you sharing your thoughts on how our industry is going to look in the weeks and months and possibly years ahead.
Okay, thanks, Bruce.
Thanks so much, David.
All right. Thanks, Bruce. Take care.
David Kang, owner, founder, and CEO of Platinum Naturals. This has been a special CNHR Supplier Profile podcast with David Kang, Platinum Naturals. Thanks for listening.